There's always a little bit of fear in every new step you take, right? Like you're a new podcaster, so maybe the fear of finding the perfect guest or the actual interview structure or what equipment do I use or what is my voice? Like there's always a lot of questions.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money. And they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It's your host, AAA, Adam A. Adams. And I'm stoked because we've got Holly Shannon, whom I met on, I was going to say Tinder. We were talking about Tinder. We did not meet there. Whom I met on Clubhouse. We had a couple of funny stories in the, yeah, whatever. We'll skip that. But anyway, I'm stoked because you're always adding so much value to so many people. You are the author of Zero to Podcast, taking somebody from an idea into actually having a podcast where they're getting their ideas out, where they're doing their business. And additionally, you are a podcaster yourself. You have Culture Factor 2.0, which helps discuss company culture. And I'm stoked because I want to dive in a little bit about why you started that podcast. So let's start right here. There's two things. You've got your podcast, you've got your business. Do they align with each other? That's the first question.
That's a really interesting question. So I think they do. I think that my podcast, of course, launching my own podcast gave me the tools for being able to do that for other people. So it's in line there. They are definitely two different subject matters. So they don't necessarily go with each other in that respect, but the experience of being a podcaster, what your audience looks like, your niche, the tools you use, the experience you have interviewing people and growing as a speaker and somebody who conducts interviews, I think it all lends itself to teaching people how to launch a podcast or doing it for them, whichever.
Nice. So you do done for you services?
I do. So two different pictures there. So for B2B, because they have a very different thought process. So that's where the company culture comes in. Because I can launch podcasts for businesses and we can design it to be a culture tool where it's used in a team environment to actually enhance company culture and create a communication tool internally in a company. And that being said, it could be a podcast that's integrated privately, that's just for use internally, or it could be public where it goes out to iTunes and Spotify. And then that's sort of a, not just a culture tool, but then that becomes something else. It becomes a thought leadership tool, a lead generation tool, a search engine optimization tool. Then it takes on like another character to it, as you know, because I know that you do that as well.
So what's the difference then between launching a podcast for an individual, because I know you mm-hmm. do that, mm-hmm. and launching a podcast for a business?
So I would probably start by saying the amount of stakeholders involved. When you are launching a podcast for an individual, very often the reasoning behind it might be either it's a passion project, it's a fun thing they want to do, they are maybe looking for a job and using it as a tool to get their voice out there in a professional manner so that they could be viewed a certain way and maybe kick doors open for opportunities. And you're dealing with one person generally. So refining what their needs are, you're always in contact with one person. They very often will take ownership of parts of it. So the price point and the time that goes into it is a little bit different. When you're doing it for a company, there's more stakeholders. You know, very often you'll have co-founders, you'll have the C-suite, you'll have maybe legal, maybe marketing for branding. You'll have different people involved that you'll want to make sure that you craft the niche a little differently. And very often the end game for a company is different. They may be seeing themselves moving towards virtual or live conferences, with the community and audience that they build. They might be doing professional ebooks, creating newsletters. It might just be more of a robust journey for a business. And so very often, it could even bleed into content creation on their website and how the podcast is built there. So it's a different animal.
So I am very curious about your company. You started your podcast, Culture Factor 2.0. So does that integrate with another business, or is that more integrating with the podcast?
So Culture Factor 2.0 is separate from my business. It probably feeds interests, like in terms of like my LinkedIn posts or Instagram or that type of thing. So I think people know me for both. But Culture Factor 2.0 was actually designed as a pull marketing tool when it was first introduced. And by that, you know, it gets us back into that conversation of why businesses would want a podcast as a marketing tool. So it was designed for lead generation. So the podcast would live on a website, the transcripts would live on the website, it would increase lead generation and search engine optimization, it would help with that. So the initial play was for that. Unfortunately, the startup that it was initially designed for didn't make it. It failed, but the podcast survived. And because the conversation around company culture was pretty hot, because obviously COVID changed the narrative, I continued to do it. And I continued to do it even as I realized that conversation, even the initial conversation, was starting to change. So I rebranded it back in October to sort of reflect how the framework of business is, it completely exploded for people. We went very fragmented, all remote, and how companies do business really changed. Businesses were shutting down, big businesses were going fully remote. And yet, in 1 year, we went from a more classic model of doing business to this totally remote methodology, if you will, or framework. And now there's probably going to be some sort of hybrid iteration. So I might have to rebrand again. I'm not really sure. So yeah, it was designed initially as a pull marketing tool, and then it jumped off on its own.
What is pull marketing tool? And if I spelled it P-U-L-L, am I spelling it correctly?
Or yeah. Is it P-O-L-E? Yeah. No, it's P-U-L-L. So it's pulling, essentially it's pulling people over to your website, which is why I always recommend to businesses to consider podcasting as a possible tool, because having the podcast live on your website allows you to have interviews with people, and when you post about it, you point it to your website, and then people come to your website and they learn about you. So there's that pull marketing happening.
Love it. Good stuff. Yeah, I always talk about the difference between push and pull with magnetism. And I really feel like these days it's so much more effective to pull people in, to reverse your magnet, to face the other way, and to let them come to you. I really feel like that's the best way to really do the most amount of business, just to add value out there and pull people in. So it sounds like what you're doing with the podcast is letting people come to you and you're pulling them in. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Well, and especially when I design it, right? But I love the way you put that, because that's a really great analogy with the magnetic force of push and pull. So thank you for saying that. I think that's a great way to put it.
You have a lot of other expertise, and I want to jump into a few things. Number one, I would say that you're a natural at interviewing people. What is it that makes somebody a better interviewer?
Well, I'm going to say thank you, first of all. And I think it's learning to really listen. You know, that is a tool, active listening, and everybody talks about it. But I think you really, and I'm not good at this 100% of the time. So when I say this, it's something that I have to consciously think about. You really have to sit and listen to somebody's answer and or question and or idea without formulating your answer, your thought at the same time, because you will 100% miss the point and you will ruin the flow of the conversation. So I think what has lended itself to me becoming a stronger interviewer is making a conscious effort to do that. And I would say a tactic or a skill that I use, which I can't use here because you're taking video of me, when I'm interviewing somebody and it's fully audio, I close my eyes because the sensory perception of a light and something blinking at you, your phone gets a notification, the dog walks through the room, something drops, all of these things are sensory. So if you can shut one down when somebody, like if you're being interviewed or you're interviewing somebody, it's kind of a really cool way to just sort of get in the zone.
Very, very interesting. So question about follow-up questions then. So one of your strategies is to close your eyes, to get rid of some of the other distractions so that you can really focus on that one person. But then how do we go in and ask a really good follow-up question? I know that there's a lot of people that are listening and they're like a little nervous because they're saying to themselves, man, I really want to be a great interviewer and I really want to ask the right questions, but I don't know if I'm built for that or cut out for that. So what's a strategy for follow-up questions to make sure that we're keeping it on point and really diving deeper into the topic?
So I would say you have to do your due diligence. And I think a lot of people want to have an off-the-cuff, improv type of interview. And I applaud you if that is something you feel that you can do and do well, and a lot of people do. But when you are having maybe a conversation with a corporate leader, for example, you want to make the most of the time that you have with that person. So I would study their LinkedIn profile. I would look for articles and different podcasts or interviews that they have had and listen to it. And I would also say entertain having a prep call, or you could call it an exploratory call or discovery call, whatever pretty word you want to put on it. But if you could spend 10 or 15 minutes warming up the relationship between you and the person you'll be interviewing, that goes a long way in making them very comfortable the day of the interview. And it also allows you to learn little things that give you that segue into the next question. And here's the thing, sometimes the next question is a complete departure from the one you just had because you cannot see a way to embellish on the one or to dig deeper on the answer that they just had. And that's okay too.
And so also, what if you ask a question and the person that you're interviewing kind of starts going off the rails? It starts taking it somewhere you didn't want to take it or you don't think you should take it. Is there a strategy on stopping that? What have you done in your experience?
So what I have done is that if it's a good off the rails, I don't cap the content, I let it go. If it's just not going the direction that I want it to go or it's not in keeping with what we talked about, I do thank them for their thought process on something. And then I say, you know, I would like to change direction now. I have this question for you. And the reason why I have that question is when I set up that prep call with them, I outline with them three or four questions that I would love to cover or topics that I would love to cover or that they would love to cover. And so going into the interview, I have a framework. I have a clear beginning, middle, and end for my interview. So if it does go down a road that takes me off of where I want to go, I already have that question built in. They already know it's coming, and I can circle them back to the framework in their own mind of where they need to go next.
I'm loving this. It's sounding like a road trip. Like, you know where you're going to start. You know the direction. You're in Utah. You're passing through Texas, and you're heading over to New Orleans or something like that.
I would love to do that.
And so you might not know when you're going to stop for gas, where you're going to stop for gas, when you're going to eat. There's a few things in between that you haven't figured out. You pretty much have the roadmap. This is the path that we want to go. And if you start getting off that path, you just bring it in by saying, let me change directions here. Thank you for your thoughts. Let's change directions. I want to get on topic and discuss XYZ. So it's interesting and valuable that you mentioned that you really see the beginning, middle, and end before you leave. I don't know anybody who would, there probably is a couple of people actually, but I don't know very many people that would go on a road trip having no clue where they're going to go, what direction they're going to go. They pretty much want to set that up, and you've done that as well, but with your podcast interviews. And you gave us a bunch of tactics, strategies. Number one, having a conversation with them ahead of time. Number two, doing a little bit of your own due diligence, where you're figuring out and studying and listening to their show and listening to the content, reading their blog, and just understanding the person a little bit better ahead of time. And that helped you to be able to set up, and here's the big takeaway that I got, to set up and outline just 3 to 4 topics that you or they might want to cover during the episode, where you can throw those out, set them on your screen, and remember, hey, let's go here. If we have time, we'll go here. And if we have time, we'll end with this. I love that. That's really, really, really good. So the beginning, middle, and end, outlining 3 to 4 topics that I or they would love to cover.
100%.
The next question that I have for you, that was gold right there. There's a lot of people out there that want to start a podcast and want to host a podcast and want to gain influence and want to grow their business through that influence and to touch other people's lives. And they want to have a guest on the show, or this needs to be a guest type of show. I don't want this to be just solo me all the time. I'm afraid of that. So I want to have guests. But I keep hearing, and maybe you've heard in Clubhouse with all of those people coming and asking questions, how do you get good guests? That's the big question that I keep hearing. How do you get good guests? I'm afraid of asking for guests. What if they say no? So Holly, what thoughts do you have that could help somebody who's brand new and maybe afraid of getting that first guest to be able to help them accomplish it a little bit better?
So there's always a little bit of fear in every new step you take, right? Like you're a new podcaster, so maybe the fear of finding the perfect guest or the actual interview structure or what equipment do I use or what is my voice? Like, there's always a lot of questions. So, you know, first of all, I'm from the school of thought that if there's somebody you want on your show, just ask. I have had the honor of having some phenomenal talent on my show, and it's only because I asked. I'm no big person in the whole podcast ecosystem that is, you know, under New and Noteworthy sitting next to Joe Rogan. That's not who I am. But I have had really like New York Times bestselling authors and incredible business people, founders and leaders on my show because I just simply asked. But if you are a little uncomfortable with just coming right out and asking somebody, I would make a list of the people that you really would like to have on your show. And maybe don't start with the top one if you're that nervous. Like start with a few people that maybe are also maybe, it, like say it's a business podcast and you start off with a few entrepreneurs that are just starting out that would get a lot of value out of having a podcast and getting the word out about their business. So it's equally advantageous to them. They're equally as hungry as you are to get it right. And then do that due diligence, you know, read any articles, have that prep call with them. If it has to be a little longer, have it be a little longer. Really try and flesh out like a story. If you don't have that call with them, just, you know, like I said, I would reach out to people you're a little more comfortable with to start. But if you can't, and that's not an option, do the homework, read about them, and find something that they say or something that they did that truly resonates with you and you think would be hit the nail on the head for your new audience. And then when you reach out to them in that cold DM or you reach out to them in that cold email, you say, I'm new to the podcasting journey, and I would really love to feature you on my show in my launch. And I listened to you recently on another interview, or I read this article about you, and what really resonated was X. And you point out where you spotted them and where you spotted the magic in their conversation or in their story or in their journey. And you'd be surprised. Most people will say yes. You might get a few no's, but you're going to get a lot of yeses. People really like the opportunity.
There's so much to unpack in what you just said, Holly. I love it. Let me just try to go through my notes. You said, first of all, if there's someone you want on your show, just ask. And you went on to say you've had X, Y, and Z come on your show simply by asking. That's good stuff. And I sometimes talk about the days go to the bar when I was like 21, 22 years old. And I was a wallflower for a long, long, long time. I didn't dare ask anyone. And then I finally realized, what's wrong with just asking? They'll either say no, and I'm right where I started anyways. I'm not any worse off. Or they'll say yes, and then I'll be dancing with the person that I want to be dancing with. So I finally just said, I just got to unleash and I've just got to do it. And I started just looking around, scanning and being like, I'm going to ask her. And so I just go straight up, would you like to dance? And they almost always said yes, or I have a boyfriend. But they almost always said, yes, I'd love to. That sounds great. Let's dance. And it was funny because the more that I put myself out there, the more that I stressed and just said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. As soon as it happened, it was like, that wasn't even as hard as I ever thought. And a lot of times they said yes. And I'm like, this is so cool. Because I was very shy when I was 21. I'm just going to say I was really, really nervous. I loved what you said about that. And you went on to talk a little bit about a huge strategy that helps when you finally approach them. You said you make a list of all the people that you would want. And then you start going in one by one by one. And you might not start with the top one. You might start with, you know, the friend or the family, somebody that you already, it's like, okay, I could baby steps, you know, for example. What you did is you say, I'm new to podcasting and I'd really like to feature you on my show. And then you go on to say, this is why I wanted to have you on my show. And you say, what really resonated with me is how you did XYZ. That was so good because I really feel that that's the way to get people into your world, almost by buttering them up, almost by flattery, if you will, you know, sharing, this is the thing that resonated with me. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll come on your show. You're nice to me. Let's do it. So I want to ask, because when you're going there, we all have doubts. When I was going to ask that girl at the club when I was 21, 22, when I was going to ask her to dance, I had doubts. I was like, maybe I'm too short. Maybe I'm not muscly enough. Maybe my hair's not cool enough. Maybe my shirt's not cool enough. She might say no. And it's the same with us when we're brand new podcasters, right? We don't know if we have the right mic. We don't know if we have the right setup. We don't know if we're going to ask the right questions. So we are holding ourselves back. We're holding ourselves back. We're thinking, oh, I could ask them. But then there's that doubt where, like, maybe I'm not enough. Maybe my podcast isn't enough. Maybe I don't have enough listeners right now to even entice somebody when I say, I want to feature on my show. Because it's like, what show? I don't have any listeners yet. So do you have any strategies to support those doubts to let us just actually ask that person?
So first of all, I want to ask you, when you ask the girl to dance that first time, like you were sweating like crazy,
oh my gosh,
right?
Yeah.
Totally nervous. But the second time, was it slightly easier?
I would say it was like twice as easy.
Okay.
It was
so
half as hard.
Right. So I think the first ask is always going to be the most uncomfortable, especially if you're introverted, especially if it's something new, especially if you're not familiar with the cold DM. I'm not going to say that it's not going to be hard, but what I will say, and you know, just like in dating or picking somebody up at a bar, it gets a little easier each time. It becomes a new muscle. You're going to get probably more yeses than noes when you ask people to be on a podcast, because people love that platform. So know that as well. It actually is a very attractive option for people. They love to be interviewed. So you'll probably get more yeses than nos. So in answer to sort of that first question, I would say that. And I'm sorry, your second question, can you ask that again?
Well, really what I'm looking for here is how to, A, overcome the fear, because we might not think that we're enough, that our audience is enough. Like, here we are, you got this perfect pitch, and I love the pitch. But while we're actually approaching that person, that's when we're going to have those doubts. Like,
right,
I'm inviting them to my show, that sounds attractive, but I don't really have enough listeners to make it attractive. Maybe I'm wrong for the job. Maybe I'm, what's that, being disingenuous with my offer. Maybe, I'm trying to think of another way to say it, but.
No, I think I understand.
Yeah, okay,
I do.
Go ahead then.
So what I would say is you're going to have to be like your own hype manager, and you're going to have to learn how to frame it. So when you do the ask, you need to let them know that you are creating a podcast and that the audience will be X, Y, and Z, will be emerging leaders, young professionals in startup culture, healthcare in the area of burnout and mental health, like whatever the area is, or it's just like fun facts about things you're curious about. I don't know. Like, you're going to have an idea of who your audience is and what your show is about. So you need to lead with your excitement and your enthusiasm around that. So you lead in with, I am creating a podcast and it is all about the struggle of burnout and mental health that comes with a workforce that is now remote. And it is a topic that is near and dear to my heart because I've been working from home. I felt so removed from the people that I work with. It's been really hard. And I feel like this is a topic that needs to be covered. And I came across this article on LinkedIn where you were featured and you talked deeply about what you think we should be doing to help mitigate burnout. And I would love to have you be the voice of my launch. I'm really excited to launch my new podcast, and I want the first five to feature people that care deeply about burnout and mental health. Would you consider coming on my show? So again, it's how you frame it. You want to show your passion behind what you're doing, the story of why you got into it. Not too long, but you know what? That was like maybe a paragraph for an email. And you want to compliment and show that you've been watching them and why they should be featured. Will you get a hit rate 100% of the time? No, I'm not going to lie. But I would hazard to guess you're going to do pretty good. I bet you're going to get like an 80% hit rate because, you know, people want to be heard. And if they've got something to talk about and you're giving them the platform, they're usually going to say yes.
That's inspiring. Holly, I love it. Lead with your excitement and the enthusiasm. You even gave us a quote. I'm creating a podcast that, insert your big Y here. I'm creating a podcast that not just talk about the title of it, but talk about the heart under the heart under the heart, the why behind the why behind the why. What's driving you to doing this? And that was so good, the way that you said that. And I came across your, for example, article on LinkedIn, and I'd love you to be a voice on my podcast, one of the first few people on there. I couldn't say no to that myself. So I'm surprised if you get an 80% hit rate, because it sounds like you get 100 with that. That's so good. So I almost called you my friend's name, Julie Holly.
That's okay. I have two first names.
Holly Shannon.
It's the two first name thing. You have the same problem, Adam, but Adams. Everybody always gets it right for you.
A lot of people call me Aaron and Alan.
Oh.
So it is funny. They'll know me for a long time and be like, Aaron. I'm like, it's Adam. Adam Adams. It's so easy. I've never forgotten it in my life. Anyway, I do have a question about your book, Zero to Podcast. Who is the perfect reader and where do they find it?
So the perfect reader, so an aspiring podcaster, whether it's an individual or somebody who's maybe considering bringing it into their business or introducing it to their boss as an option for bringing into the business, that is the reader. And it's a step-by-step guide. I know how to do it. I did it with zero experience. I did it with minimal equipment, with almost no money thrown at it. I have some technical expertise, but I'd never created a podcast or edited anything. So I think that it's the type of book that feels very approachable because it starts from that place that you basically could launch in under a month. You could do it on no money. You can do it with very little technical expertise, if any. And so it's very tangible. And you can get it on, if you go to my website at hollyshannon.com, there's a link and it'll take you right to Amazon. And most people have an account with Amazon, so it's pretty easy to put that in your cart. And I would say if you buy my book, Zero to Podcast, and I hope that you'll consider doing it, please take the time afterwards to shoot me a picture of you with the book and share your journey with me because I'd really love to know how it's going. And if you have the time, the holy grail of Amazon is a rate and review. So I would love that if you had a minute.
Awesome. So here's what I'm going to do. And to the listener, it's already done. I'm going to make sure that the Amazon link is in the show notes so they can just scroll down right now, grab the book directly. And then we'll put the link to Culture Factor 2.0. That's your podcast. That's Holly Shannon's podcast. So if you're listening to this podcast, you might want to just jump over there and jump into that podcast. And feel free to give her a rating or review either on the book or Culture Factor 2.0. And if you do, let her know that you heard about her here and say, I'm so glad that I heard you on Adam's show. And then say all the other good stuff. And all right. So I'm stoked to have you. Thank you for being on the show, Holly. What is the single number one best way? I've already got the link to your podcast and the link to your book. What's the single best way for the listener to find you and get a hold of you?
HollyShannon.com.
Perfect. Love it. Holly, what parting advice do you have for a new and aspiring, I almost said inspiring, but well, let's inspire both. Them. New and aspiring podcaster in this space.
Just pick up your phone and start recording your voice as though you're the podcaster. Just get comfortable and get started because that is really the biggest challenge is just taking the step. And that's kind of an easy way. You have your phone on you all the time. So go sit in a corner and moderate your first podcast to yourself. And I think that'll help push you forward. And thank you, Adam.
Thank you. I loved a lot of your thoughts. A couple point things that kind of stand out to me. Number one, the pull marketing tool is your podcast. That's the thing that's going to magnetize people toward you. It's a lead gen. You talked about utilizing the transcripts of it. And so that helps with SEO for your website to have people coming to you. You talked about active listening, where you're not thinking about your next question. You're not thinking about all of these other things. You're even closing your eyes as you active listen so that you can respond appropriately. And you helped talk a little bit about diving a little bit deeper, making sure you're asking great follow-up questions. If it's going off the rails, how to change that direction back into the line with the 3 to 4 topics that you had from the beginning, middle to end. You talked about doing your due diligence, finding great guests, and being able to ask those great guests. And you even gave us a couple of quotes that I hope the listener already wrote down for that. I hope that the listener goes and finds your book and leads with enthusiasm and excitement when they go and ask people to come onto their show. Learn so much from you, and I hope they do find you at Culture Factor 2.0 and your book, Zero to Podcast. Again, those links are in the show notes. This is Adam Adams. That's been Holly Shannon, my friend on Clubhouse. You should check out Clubhouse if you haven't already and follow her in her rooms. And additionally, if you need help with your podcast, just go to growyourshow.com. We have some packages that are really going to help you to be able to get it all off your plate with the easiest amount possible for you to be able to get to the next level. Love to help you. Just go to growyourshow.com. Holly Shannon, thanks for jumping on, and we will see you next time, my friend.
Thank you so much, Adam. This was fun.
This episode's brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.